to get us where we are. And I can tell you that Doc has been one of those people that's led me closer to Calvary. And I always appreciate that. Come share with us, Doc.
Good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. And I was telling Sue as we got ready for the service tonight, we just come to Turbinville, it seems like we eat, and then we eat again, and then we eat again. And so we had a good time tonight. Tammy and Kathy were over to Tammy's house, and we had what they call a light supper. I thought it was a full-blown meal, I'll tell you. It was a good meal. And so we were glad for that. Tonight in our Bible study, I want you to help me gain a thought about what God is doing for you and what he's doing for lost and dying man. You know, we often think about the different aspects of God. And tonight we want to look at the Logos. And I'm not going to use that word a whole lot, but that just means the Word of God. And I introduce you to it because that's the Greek word. That's what you're going to find in the Greek New Testament. The Logos became flesh. And I want us to think about that and understand it as part of God's power. You know, there's no question in our minds tonight that God is able to make things come to pass. He can change things. He can make us so that we have something that's strong in our life. And the Bible clearly tells us that God spoke and things happened. God spoke and we saw that his existence came together in creation. I still believe in the creation the way the Genesis account gives it. I don't know about you guys. You might think it was an explosion. That's okay with me. You can think that way. But I believe what Genesis says when we look back in that glorious chapter and it says, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters. And God said, let the water under the sky gather into one place. And God said, let the land produce vegetation. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky. And separated the day from the night. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures. And God said, let the land produce living creatures. But best of all, he said, and God said, let us make man in our own image. You know, God is so capable of creating. In our lesson tonight, we need to understand that whatever's going on in our life, whatever we seem to be facing, whatever trials are ours, God is capable of creating a way that we can find the relief from that particular thing. In John's gospel, we find God's word joined to his all-powerful creating authority. John tells us some basic facts about God. In chapter 1, verse 1, he writes, in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word was God. What John's aiming to do there is to make sure that we understand that God is not three basic gods. I remember back in our classes in the university, and Brother Rodney, you might remember a guy named Cliff Clark. Young man came from Illinois, right where your pastor is from, and his wife. And Brother Clark came, and he said, first thing Dr. Kroll tried to do was take one of my gods away from me. He believed in three gods. But they're not three gods, and that's what John wants us to see. He wants us to know there are three key images of God that classify his makeup. And so we look at those tonight and understand that those three images used to measure up to us, we often call them Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, depending on what gospel you're reading. And those three labels, in some way, explain to us who God really is. But they really are telling us more about a particular characteristic about God. Now, let me tell you what that means, or at least what it means to me. When we think about God the Father, what we're really talking about, the God part that does the planning or designing. It's almost like the wisdom of the Father. That's kind of where that comes from. And so we see God in that attribute being one who has designed. Everything that is came from God's imagination. You're here because God dreamed you up. You're here because God the Father planned you. And then we move to the Holy Spirit, and we think about the Holy Spirit, and there's an attribute of God somehow that tells us about being a guiding feature of God, a supporting or lifting up God. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John and in the 16th chapter of John that Jesus said he was going to send another comforter, someone that would teach us all things. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what it does. It's what it really is. It's not another God. It's just the characteristic or attribute of God that we recognize. But tonight our message is about the Word, the Logos, and that's the Son. And so when we think about the Son of God, what we're really doing is we're surrounding our thoughts about a God who somehow is a God that restores and frees. So our message tonight is about the Word. The Word became flesh. And what does it do? It restores us to what we ought to be, who we really are. It is that freeing thing. If you know the Son, you are free, free indeed. He does that for us. Now, that's exactly what we need to understand. John said, in the beginning was that Word, and so from the beginning we have seen it. In the little letter of John, that 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it records it this way. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have handled with our hands, of the Word of God. Something's important about that Word of God. I'm telling you tonight, we need to understand the Word of God in a greater way. So what does that mean? What is the Word of God? It ought to be clear to every one of us who are believers. If we think about the Word of God, we're really thinking about basically God speaking. And speaking in such a way that he forms something, or makes something, or creates something. God created the heavens and the earth, and he did it through his Word. And so that Word somehow has great blessing to us. Now, when you think about the real idea behind the Word, that can mean two things. If you really think about the Word or the Logos, and you go back to the study of what that could mean, it has two possible things. First of all, it could mean the words, just the absolute words that are used in discourse. What we're saying, the words that are spoken. So the Word of God, or the Logos, would be verbal communication between the God that we love and man himself. And so what Logos is how he speaks to us. Remember in Psalms, what God said, be still and know that I'm God. How did he do it? Through the Word, still, small voice. It was a word that he spoke. And so that's the first concept. But the Logos can also mean a thought. It can be the developing idea behind the words that come from conversation. We all know what that means. Every once in a while, I hear Sue's words, but I don't understand what she means. Mary, has that ever happened with yours? You know, sometimes she'll say something to me, and I think she wants me to have fun. And she really wants me to straighten up and act right. We see there is a thought that comes out of the words, and sometimes the Logos is not just the words, but it is also the impact of the thought or idea that's behind those words as they come to us. Tonight, we need to study the thought behind the Word of God. We need to understand what it truly means. We need to understand the communication between God and man. And we need to understand it in such a way that we find out that when God has spoken to us, he has a thought behind what he says, and he's going to do something for us. Now, an excellent place to start our understanding of the Word of God is in John's Gospel. In chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, let me read that to you. The text says this, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word, the Logos, was with God. And the Word was God. He, the Logos, was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. So we find out there's words there, words that we can understand. We see that in some way in the beginning, he was there. We can understand that he was with God. We can understand that he was God. We can understand he created and that nothing was created without him. And in the midst of all of that, he brings us life, and that life is the light of the world. It's the light that comes into the darkness of your life. Those words should make a picture for you of what God is doing. It is a word that simply helps us understand what's going on. Now, we can't ignore this. We have to understand it. If you're a follower of Jesus and you know that he is the Word become flesh, as John tells us, we cannot ignore understanding what the Word does. A Christian needs to know what the Word truly is and what he stands for in our lives. Spiritual growth can only come by knowing the majestic nature of the Word of God. You know all about the wisdom of God. You know, you can be agnostic and know about a God that has wisdom and is above everything. You can be something else like Shirley MacLaine is out on the limb with the New Age movement, and you can believe that the Holy Spirit is something that you can get in touch with. But when you start understanding having a spiritual life, when you try to connect that conversation with God, you have to go back to his Word. That's the thing that draws it into clear light to us. Spiritual growth. It's something amazing to us. It's a grace that we have that comes through the truth about the Word. It's the Word of God that provides deliverance from Calvary. Without Calvary's grace, we'd not have it. So the Word actually restores and frees us. It makes us to be whole. Once a Christian can understand the impact of the Word of God, there's a great big blessing that follows. You know, there's sometimes I wonder if people understand that part of God. It gives us calm and assurance and pressure, and it makes us to know that we are his. It's only then that you really understand the Word of God and its creating power in your life that you can really understand how to live for God. He makes something happen in your life. From the Word, you get joy, and that's because you're having a relationship or a conversation with God Almighty. It's the Word that speaks directly to your misery. Anybody here ever been miserable? I'll tell you what, Sue and I were miserable after homecoming yesterday trying to drive back to Myrtle Beach, and we'd both eaten too much. We were miserable. God didn't speak to us, Frankie. If he did, he said, quit doing that. But we need to understand that that's what the Word of God is about. As we face the misery of this fallen world, it is the Word of God that comes to us and makes us aware that God is still in charge. He's still doing a work. He's still lifting up his own plan for life, and we can find that. So that impact gives us that assurance. From John, we find the Word of God, that image, that feature of him, as something that's more than a mere function of God. In fact, John says in chapter 17, which is Sue's favorite verse, her favorite verse is about Jesus praying. You know, in that verse it says, and Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he said, I pray for also those that are not yet here, and I pray for them daily. Sue always thinks that's what God means. He prayed for her. And so in that 17th chapter, God says, or John says, that the Word is God's truth. God's truth. It's that truth that sets man free. In John 8:32, when John talks about God, he talks about him as Jesus of Nazareth being in the flesh, the Word of God. And what he's doing is he's defining Jesus as an instrument of God's creating action. Now, maybe you're having trouble with your salvation tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're having difficult with your life spiritually and trying to walk in close contact with God. I don't know, but I'm telling you this, whenever you come in contact with Jesus of Nazareth, who is God's Word become flesh, he is defining as something that will give a creation that is an action that comes into your life. But it's not simply an action. It's not just any action. It's a unique type of action. I know Randy and I play golf several times together, and we always try to pick different clubs when we're going to hit certain distances, and Randy always hits the ball further than I do. You know, he's got this crazy wiggle that he puts in his golf game and everything like that. So he hits that ball a long way. And so when I'm over here trying to hit a four iron, he's hitting an eight iron. Well, you know, that's an instrument that you use to get the job done. Jesus is the instrument that you use to get out of the misery you're in. If your heart is broken, if your life is filled up, you need to understand the part of God that will come to you and make a difference. He brings light into the darkened places. That's what John's gospel tells us. It's an action that creates life, and that life comes because of the light of the world. It is there for us to understand and see. In Revelation 19, John says, the Word of God is a conqueror. Max, that means that the Word is going to pound out the goodness of God. It is the Word that is going to defeat death, hell, and the grave. It is the Word of God that is going to come into your life and make you aware of who God is and what He has called you to be and how you can be that. And so we see that and know that that's true. Now, John's statement about the Word being truth and conqueror and bringing light, that's always been part of the Bible. You can go to the Old Testament and find out that that's always been there also. In the Psalms, we find in 119 that it says, the Word was a lamp unto my feet. It created a way for me to walk. The Word has always been a part of God's ability to do something for every one of us. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. God leads us and shows us what He wants to do. It's unmistakable. This amazing act of revelation has gone throughout the entire Bible, and somehow we just talk about God and don't understand that. And I'm not minimizing God's wisdom, and that's important. Dr. Blank, we can't do without that either. But that's not our lesson tonight. I'm not minimizing the Holy Spirit that comes to you. That's important too. But tonight we're thinking about what God's creation is and what we need to have created in our life. And that's His Word's job. And it will come and make right that which is wrong. Anything broken, the Word fixes it. It's God's Word that we need to hide in our heart. That's what we find in the Bible. The Word was in the beginning, it says. So it's not only an action of creation, it's been doing that since the very beginning of time. It's been around forever. And so we need to understand that the Word is an eternal concept that we must see God being. It also is God. We know that from John's gospel. That means just like it's been forever, it also has been connected to the other features of God. The Word is connected to God's wisdom. The Word is connected to God's support and help and guidance in your life. But it is there and it has been shown as being equal with everything else about God. You know, in the early church, the Council of Nicaea, 325, they were arguing about the absolute, what was the status of Jesus Christ. And they kind of tried to put Him a little bit below God the Father. I want you to know something. The Bible says He is God. We don't put Him below anything. He has a different function than the Father does. But He is not below, He is equal with. And so we learn from John that that's something that's very crucial for our salvation. His Word is crucial to you tonight because it brings you light in the darkened places of your life. Don't you want His light? I do. You know, when John says, His light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. What that really means is it couldn't take down that. There's nothing the darkness can do to God's light. It's going to happen in such a way that it's going to mesmerize the darkness and change it. We also know that John said the Word is a creative part of God. That's important too. We need to understand He's creative because He has a light. And that equals with the wisdom of God. Makes us understand the critical nature of understanding God's Word. He is creative and has made all things. And without the Word, not one thing was made that was made. Now, I think it's kind of helpful for us to just kind of put a bookmark in that just for a second. And let's think about something besides the Word just for a moment. And I want to compare the Word and the light that comes from that Word to darkness. That's really essential. The Bible seems to do that, and we don't seem to understand it. The darkness is an important factor in understanding the light from God's Word. In Genesis, we find out prior to creation, the earth was shapeless, barren, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And in the middle of that gloominess, that darkness, in the middle of that, God created everything. So why wouldn't we not want to know that? So that when we see that in the midst of our gloominess, God can come and create a light for us and know that that light has been created not by accident, but by the Word of God. His Word is structurally sound, and we need to understand that. In the manner God's Word became flesh, it brought us the light that shines in the darkness today. It creates light for us. Gaining God's abundant life comes whenever you somehow recognize the Word as what it is, and its light shines in your personal darkness of sin and despair and reveals a new life. So you want to be happy? Have a new life. Now, I'm not talking about fake happy. You know, there's a lot of people that like to stand back and grin and smile and say, oh, my arthritis is killing me, thank the Lord. That's crazy. But I'm telling you this, if you have a problem, if you have despair, if you have a hurt in your life, if there's darkness, we already know from the Bible that God creates out of that darkness something light, something great and glorious. Evil increases when darkness comes in your life and you need more understanding of light. Somehow we need to see that contrast between the Word and its light and the darkness that's in the world. It's a great thing that God did for man. The meaning of the Word becoming flesh means that He becomes the light of the world. We see that and evaluate it as opposing the attributes of darkness. Just like God's Word provided light in this broken world, it also, there's something in this broken world that decreases your light. Let me say that again. Make sure you understood what I said. Just like the Word can give you more light, there's something over here that can take your light away. That's a better way to say it. Has anybody ever experienced that? I have. I have experienced darkness sometimes that I didn't know where I was going. And I realized that I had moved away from the Word of God because it produces light. There is something there that just simply will come and rob us of the light of the world. It's there. We're told it's there. We're told what it'll do. And still yet we find ourselves wandering in the darkness, not recognizing what really needs to be done is to turn the beam on so the light shines. Y'all know Jeffrey, our oldest son. Jeffrey got every flashlight in the world. He got a flashlight will shine onto the moon, George. I'm telling you what, he turns that thing on and boom, the neighbors all complain. That's the way we ought to be about the Word. We ought to know where the on button is, and we ought to make sure that there's an intensity about the light that comes into our darkness, and it shines and chases away the gloom and despair. But somehow we'd rather just not talk about that. It's in the Bible, but we don't see that. The light from the Word, Jesus, does not shine into a vacuum or an emptiness. It radiates in the opposite parts of darkness. Somehow we need to know that the light and darkness are adversaries. They're fighting each other. They're battling each other. It's almost an impossible thing to read the Bible and not understand that. Somehow we need to know that they resist each other. When the darkness comes, the light goes away. And when the light comes, the darkness goes away. And we sometimes don't consider that. You know, Jesus did his best job at teaching this when he wrote in the Sermon on the Mount. You don't hide a lamp beneath a basket. You don't do that. You place it on a hill so that it does what it's supposed to and everybody can see it. What Jesus was really saying was you put the lamp in a place where the darkness is going to have to flee because the light is shining. That's the Word of God. Darkness in the Bible is judged as evil. It's always been associated with sin. Satan rules and is the prince of darkness. And so why don't we understand that? You might say, how are you doing today, preacher? And I say, well, things are going bad. Sue's been picking on me again. Church won't let me sing. Tammy fed me too much pie. You know, things are gloomy in my life. That's simply what we want to do. And what we don't understand is what really is happening is somehow we're backing away from the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And we need to reconnect to that so that we can get rid of that darkness. Nothing can stop God's church if we'll just simply sign the light of the Word on it. You're worried about the church going downhill? I am too. But I'm telling you what, the Word brings life and light to the church in any aspect of darkness that Satan might cast upon it. Isn't that good? Oh man, I tell you what, I'd be doing Pentecost about right now if I was sitting out there where you guys were. I'd be hallelujahing all over myself to know that I live in a time whenever no matter who gets upset and who gets this and how dark Satan tries to connive and take us to the darkest places of the corner of the earth, I know that I have one who is my Redeemer, the Word of God, that can shine light into the very midst of what he's doing, and it goes away. Everybody ought to say amen to that. That ought to make you feel good all under. I mean, it's good to know that. That's the only way we can advance. And somehow we need to understand that that's what it is. God spreads his light, and it comes directly into the heart of darkness. 2 Corinthians, Paul said that. He wants us to know that the darkness cannot stand it. A follower of Christ knows that he has been called out of darkness. If you've forgotten about that, you think about what Rodney was asking you about earlier. Do you remember that day? If you remember that day, you stepped from darkness into light. If you didn't step from darkness into light, you better see him before you go home tonight. If you're still in the darkness tonight, it might be because you've never understood the light, but it might be because you don't know how to use the light. But the light chases away the darkness, and we need to understand that. John says in his writings in 1 John, that first letter, that small letter, there is no darkness in God at all. None. So Paul even joins us. In Ephesians, he warns that Christians, you and me, we are wrestling against rulers of the darkness. Doc Blank, that's tough. Wrestling, I don't want to wrestle with that. I have enough trouble wrestling with church people. I don't need anybody in the darkness. I just don't. But that's what Paul says. To appreciate the wonder of God's light, the Word, you have to be able to see the darkness in your own life. In Genesis, we're told, God saw that light was good. And he said, let there be light, and darkness fled, ran away, got out of the picture. Somehow the light of God's Word is able to defeat the darkness, and there's not one dad-blame thing the darkness can do about it. It cannot stop the light. It shines even in the midst of the most horrible things that we can imagine. John 8:31 says, if you continue in my Word, which is the light, then you are truly my disciples. So, are we in the light? Well, sometimes you don't know that, do you? Sometimes you don't hear that blessing. But I want you to understand that what the light and the Word of God is all about, it's telling us about the miracle of rebirth, being born again. When God reaches you, you're regenerated. There's a change in you. You're born again. Somehow there's something that's going on in your life where salvation is yours, and salvation is a product of the light, the Word. Nothing else. It comes to us to make us understand the problem that we think about is we still live in a darkened world. This whole world still got a lot of darkness. You read about all of the child abuse and all of the degradation that's going on in the world, and it's dark out there, children. I want you to know that. And the problem is we forget that sometimes. But we also forget that we have the Word that brings a light that shines into that darkness, and we can defeat that darkness, and nothing the darkness can do can stop us. Every once in a while I hear somebody say, we need to get prayer back in school. Amen. I'd like to see that happen. But we don't need prayer back in school as much as we need the light to be shined into that darkness of our schools. What is the light? It's the Word of God. It's God's Word. It's that factor of God that speaks and restores and frees and makes us to know who we are. And somehow that's a glorious thing. We need to understand that miracle of birth. We need to understand that the believer walks in the light and there's no sin there or difficulty or danger that can overcome him. You see, it's the light of God's Word that lets you prevail in the very stress of everything in your life. I like that Isaiah. Ronnie, I'm surprising you using a few Old Testament things, aren't I? In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, now let me stop there, the government, it's the government of light and grace that he's talking about, the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, J.H., why? Because that's who he is? No, it's because of what he does. It's because he has defeated the darkness. That's the Word. Jesus' union with the Word of God given by John is something that is proclaimed in such a way that we understand that he is the creator of new life. That's a glorious concept. Imagine it. A Savior who came to earth to bring light and make a payment for our sins so the darkness had to leave, that same Savior was back in the beginning with the God of wisdom, starting creation. You know, that's something that really sets me aside, to think that the one that paid for my sins was also there helping create me and shape me the way I am. It doesn't make redemption less, it makes it more remarkable. The incarnate Jesus can no longer be considered as some go-between between some imperfect mankind and a perfect God. Jesus is the Word that brings light. And he is the one that is designing and creating and working to make rescue plan even greater. I said this morning that we are created in God's image. So what happened? Adam sinned. Now what that means is Adam got into darkness. I can just imagine it started with Eve, didn't it? Every place you find sin in the Bible, Mark, isn't the woman right there starting most of it? Can I have amen, Mark? Mark? But let me just skip that part because I'll be in trouble all the way home to Myrtle Beach tonight. But let me put it this way. Whenever the serpent came to Eve and Adam both, darkness did too. Listen to what I'm saying now. You don't have to think hard to understand this. In the midst of man's failure of Adam's sin, it was dark. And in that darkness, man sinned and fell from the grace of Almighty God and was expelled from the kingdom. Somehow we need to understand that even though all of that happened, God's love continues, just like we talked about this morning and just like we've talked about all day. You see, God's love for man is so big that he surrendered himself as a payment for our sin. His sacrifice on Calvary was intended to bring light to you and to me. Think about that. If we really understand what God did, we have to understand why did he do it. He did it because he thought that would sway you into coming into his light. And still some of you And some of the ones that I love in my family are staying in darkness. Why wouldn't we run for that light? Why wouldn't we run as fast as we could into His arms? He planned a way that looks so appealing. And His sacrifice on Calvary should have brought us to Him. You see, the gift of the cross is similar to the creation account. Jesus came to earth so that we could attain new light. The storyline of Calvary is about life-giving from God. What took place in the creation account that I still believe, and I don't know whether you do or not, but I still believe it, in Genesis says, when God breathed His own breath into man, who was merely the dust of the earth, that's all man was, he turned out to be a living soul. All of a sudden, He created something. In the same identical way, Jesus on Calvary dispenses new life because of the light of His Word. John 10:10, Jesus said it this way, I come that they might have life and that it may be more abundant. I like it. I like it. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to preach it. If you don't want to hear it again, don't come back the rest of the week, because I'm going to keep talking about the light of the Word. I'm going to tell you what He's done. I'm telling you He's done it for you. I'm going to tell you there's no sense you staying in that darkness. I'm telling you that there's no sense in you being beat up, and that you can focus on the Word, and the Word will bring light right into the midst of the heartache that you have, and He will change you. But I hope you'll come back and hear it. And I hope you'll dance around in the light. And I hope it'll be something good for you. Somehow we need to see that and understand it. Brand new life. Attain to the relationship with the Word. Enjoying the Word and staying in His light. What a marvelous change. You know what I like to think about? I like to think about that amazing grace. That beautiful hymn. Doc, it says, I once was lost, and now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Being lost is being in the darkness, right? Being blind is being in the darkness, right? But I'm not that way anymore, because I have found the Word, and the light has changed that. That's what Amazing Grace is all about. That's why we sing that, and that's why it's our battle hymn of the Republic as a Christian movement, because it shows us that brand new life. Somehow we need to understand that the Word of God and its light is a compelling truth about God. God created man, and He created him in a miraculous, incredible way so that he can have good life. God's plan for you and God's plan for me is that we have close personal fellowship with Him. It's not God's intention to become your boss or judge. God has no idea or interest at all in becoming someone that is your boss. He's not interested at all in that. Somehow we need to understand that's what His deliverance is all about. He wants you to gain a personal relationship with Him. And once the light of God's Word is in your life, that's how you attain a personal relationship. The Word creates a light that produces abundant joy, peace, and happiness. Gaining abundant life qualifies you for more fellowship with God. Without that light to chase away the darkness, you stay away from God because you're embarrassed about what you are. And you don't want to be there. Billy, that's bad when we don't want to go to God, isn't it, son? We simply find that we need to know more about Him. Somehow we need to know that when God selects us to do something, we ought to be there. And it's His light, the Word, that permits us to eliminate Adam's sin and to gain fellowship with Him. Now let me close with application for our life. Something is significant about the light of God's Word. It functions in a way that we ought to know what it really does. And once we understand the truth about God's Word and light, we can have victory in our life, even in the darkest hour. Our spiritual life grows. We accept and are living in a fallen, broken, carnal world, and there's continued darkness. But we know and understand that even in those difficult circumstances, those difficulties can be chased away by shining the light of the Word in them. If you don't remember anything else, think about Crow saying, shine a little light on it. shine a little light on it, and the darkness will go away. That's what it's all about. It's the light of the world that lets you remain faithful to Him. You have to decide whether you want to live in the light or reside in darkness. It's your choice. It's not forced on you. But if you're living in the light, if you really pick the light, there's not a darkness that can overcome you. But if you choose not to live in the light, you'll crash spiritually and your life will be in despair. The Word of God is the light that brings us to the glory of God. It's man's greatest help. It stops all powers of darkness. It brings us to a place of understanding who He is and understanding who we are. Abundant life resides in the light of God's Word, but you got to take it. It's your choice. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to know about You. And Father, we know that there's that part of You that is a wise part, and You make decisions about how to create and what should be done. And Father, that's the Father, and we know that. And we know that there's the Holy Spirit that's always teaching us and guiding us and protecting us. But Father, it's the Word that we want to understand more about tonight. Father, we know He's the Word of God that produces light and that gives light in the places that we find fear. Teach us that tonight. Thank You for this church. Thank You for everyone here. And Father, for one right now that's struggling with darkness, let them hear from You the message of light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Rodney.